Today on Annenberg Radio News. A South Los Angeles mosque welcomes its Christian neighbors. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, October 8, 2009. I'm Timothy Beckworth, filling in for Brittany Knotts. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger is threatening to veto hundreds of bills if the California legislature does not upgrade the state's aging water system. The governor has put a priority on improving the state's water infrastructure, but Democrats and Republicans have not been able to find a bipartisan long-term solution.
So that should inspire them to go and get the job done and to get the water for not the 18 million people, but for the 50 million people that we will be in the near future.
Sorry for the technical difficulties. The deadline for the governor to sign any legislation is midnight Sunday. Advocacy groups and local community members are gathering to urge legislators to reduce prison spending and put the money into education instead. LaTanya Kirkland joins us live from Manuel Arts High School, where a rally is underway. LaTanya, what's happening there?
People are just wrapping up out here. We have a huge group of representatives from Stop the Cut Coalition, as well as the ACLU and local community members out here urging legislators to cut prison spending and make way for more education and public health spending.
I heard some shouting and screaming. What's going on over there?
Yeah, I mean, there are groups from these organizations, as well as students, local community members out here chanting and just trying to urge people to pay attention.
Okay, thanks, LaTanya.
Great, thank you.
The LAPD launched a new anti-terrorism program today. It's called iWatch, and its goal is to encourage people to report suspicious behavior. Police Chief William Bratton calls it Neighborhood Watch for the 21st Century, but critics of the program say it could lead to racial and religious profiling. The swine flu vaccine is making its debut in Los Angeles County. Sarah Ostreich reports on what the County Department of Public Health wants you to know about the vaccine.
Swine flu vaccines for children are being delivered to doctors' offices around the country. The children's vaccine is in the form of nasal flu mist spray. The injectable version for adults should arrive next week. Dr. Alonzo Plow, the Director of Emergency Preparedness and Response for the Department of Public Health, says they will be ready for use in just a few weeks.
People will be able to get the flu vaccine through their doctor's offices, through their campus health services. So again, you don't have to go to the hospital to get the H1N1 vaccination.
He urges young people under the age of 24 to get the vaccine because they are part of a high-risk group.
Young people under age 24 are in the priority group. This is a flu that has disproportionately affected younger people, unlike the regular flu.
Healthcare workers are also encouraged to get vaccinated. The Department of Public Health has also ordered vaccines for public use. Next week, the county will announce where uninsured people can get vaccines. So far, 57 people have died in Los Angeles from the virus. Sarah Ostreich, Annenberg Radio News.
The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has begun painting over what may have been the largest single piece of graffiti in the nation. The graffiti is on the bank of the Los Angeles River near downtown. It spells MTA in letters that are 57 feet high and a third of a mile long. MTA stands for Metro Transit Assassins. Authorities say it was put there by some 40 taggers. Traffic is synonymous with Los Angeles, but traffic may be a little lighter for communities in South L.A. Stephanie Guzman reports on the project to synchronize signals.
Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa went to the busy intersection of Crenshaw and Vernon this morning. He announced that a project to synchronize traffic lights in South Los Angeles is complete.
To the drivers in South LA, we want to say, today we make your commute a little easier and your drive a little bit faster.
The project is the first of seven projects slated for completion by 2012. The city spent almost $6 million to synchronize 70 intersections, adding 15 new left-turn arrows and four traffic monitoring cameras. Studies show the change will reduce travel times and intersection delays. The mayor says this project will help the city's Green LA plan.
This effort to to synchronize our lights not only moves traffic and reduces travel time, it also lowers emissions in a city where we have among the worst air quality anywhere in the nation.
With the completion of the project, the entire city's traffic signals are now 82% synchronized. The next two areas to be synchronized are North Hollywood and Mid-Wilshire. Stephanie Guzman, Annenberg Radio News.
Visitors to the LA Zoo will see some new faces. Two giant otters and two Francois langurs, a kind of monkey from Southeast Asia, have been added to the zoo's exhibits. The monkeys are active and noisy, medium-sized primates that are native to the rainforests and wetlands of China, Vietnam, and Laos. Giant otters live in the rainforests and wetlands of South America. Both species are endangered because of hunting and the loss of their habitats. And now for the weather. We'll have more cool temperatures tonight, lows in the 50s, and expect to see some fog and clouds. That should last through tomorrow, with highs in the low 70s. Saturday will be cloudy too, with highs in the upper 60s and 70s. Later on Annenberg Radio News, in the aftermath of the fatal beating of 16-year-old Darian Albert in Chicago, we take a look at how Los Angeles is tackling youth violence. A mosque in South Los Angeles had more than just Muslims in attendance today. Lauren Whaley reports on how religious leaders from churches and mosques around the city are working to educate each other about their religions.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu
Akbar. That's Cesar Dominguez from the Islamic Center of Southern California. He's singing a prayer to a group of 30 Muslims and Christians. They gathered today in a mosque on Exposition Boulevard near USC to talk about a new study guide that helps Muslim and Christian congregations understand each other. Program creator Gwen Gibord says the primary goal of the curriculum is to pair one mosque with one church.
But the secondary hope is to develop relationship. So it's just really beginning to educate and to develop a deeper understanding that will lend itself toward friendship.
And friendship is one of the reasons Gibord helped start the Christian Muslim Consultative Group of Southern California. The group and this study guide were created in response to cultural divides following 9/11. For Gibord, an Episcopal minister, she is most inspired when she sees Muslims praying shoulder to shoulder.
I love that image and the reason why that's done, because we must, as people of faith, stand shoulder to shoulder and not allow the evilness of untruth, demonization, mythologizing, dehumanizing to get in between us. Again, it's not possible to say that one loves God with any religious authenticity or integrity, but hate another human being.
We know there is more that binds us together than keeps us apart.
Father Jerry Stinson followed Cesar's Muslim prayer.
May what we do this day help us build bridges of compassion and justice that will unite many Southern California Christian and Muslim faith communities. Amen.
With the program, groups of churches and mosques in Los Angeles can meet on their own time using the 7-session guide and DVD. Organizers hope this will facilitate conversation and eventually friendship. Lauren Whaley, Annenberg Radio News.
Earl Ofari Hutchinson is an author and political analyst. Recently, he's written about Darian Albert, the 16-year-old black Chicago teen beaten to death on camera. The videotape shocked the country, and President Obama sent Attorney General Eric Holder and Education Secretary Arne Duncan to Chicago to discuss new policies to prevent violence. Mr. Hutchinson, thanks for joining us.
Yes.
Why does it take a videotape of a teen being beaten to death to get politicians to address some of the underlying issues here?
You know, in Chicago, the great tragedy is before the beating death of Darian Albert, 42 young African Americans under the age of 18 beaten, shot, or bludgeoned to death. Why Darian Albert? Why not the other 40-plus? Why didn't that draw the same kind of national attention and concern, especially from the White House? I think, number one, there's been a certain desensitivity on the part of policymakers that when young African Americans are victims of violence, it's like, ho-hum. This is something that happens in the inner city. It's tragic, but it's not news. When you really look at violence, it's really difficult on the part of some elected officials to get a handle on it. They've been accustomed so long to saying, look, the violence problem, especially murder, that's a police problem. So therefore, we'll turn it over to the police, certainly the courts, and the criminal justice establishment. Beyond that, we don't really see a role in that. The problem there is it hasn't worked. Obviously, Darian Albert screams for something bigger to happen, larger measures to be taken, a more comprehensive approach to dealing with not only youth violence, but more specifically, black-on-black murder.
You wrote that minority teenagers turn to violence because of white society's denial of their manhood. Could you explain that?
Well, one of the things historically we've seen when it comes to African-American males, the whole history of brutality, violence, we know about the lynchings, the mob violence, targeting African-American males. That engendered something, a sense of not only insecurity, lack of safety, but also a sense of inferiority. Many African-American males just simply felt, from a self-esteem standpoint, that we and our lives simply don't count. What happened as a result of that is if the message, both overt and covert, came back from all levels of society, you're not that important, and your life is not that important. It's a very short step from that for many African-American males to conclude, well, if my life is not that important, what difference does it make if I take another life, as long as that other life is an African-American? So now we come to a Darian Albert. We see not only the beating, but we also saw something else. We also saw a number of other African-Americans standing around doing nothing, saying nothing. So right away, it was almost like a group consensus because black life doesn't mean very much. That's a message that comes back from society. So therefore, we'll just act it out. If we kill someone, bludgeon someone, who cares? So once again, it's not just a bad signal that's been sent historically in society, but also it's a bad message that's been received, and even worse, a bad acting out and a bad consequence of that message.
Mr. Hutchinson, thank you for joining us.
Okay, take care.
That was Earl Ofari Hutchinson, author and political analyst. Chicago's Mayor Richard Daley is proposing to cut down on teenage violence. He's calling for more after-school programs and putting more police officers around schools. This comes in the wake of a beating of 16-year-old student in Chicago. The beating has focused national attention on the problem of youth violence. CJ Dablo takes a look at how Los Angeles confronts the problem.
16-year-old Darian Albert was a football hero and an honor student at the wrong place and time. Taking the bus home from school, rival gangs had beaten him to death with a wooden plank. It happened in the south side of Chicago, which shares common problems of violence in South L.A. In Los Angeles, being in the wrong gang territory is a constant fear for teenagers. Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa said that the school district should take student safety seriously.
We've got to make it a priority. Safety has got to be one of the values that are part of the social compact at every school. Our kids deserve to go to school free of harassment, free of assault, free to learn. And
LAUSD has grappled with school violence for years, but it's unclear what kind of plan would prevent what happened to Darian Albert if he lived in L.A. Our calls to LAUSD were not returned. None of the educational activists I spoke with knew of any such overall plan. Independent community action groups have initiated Safe Passages, a program designed to escort students to and from schools. And the LA Unified School District also has other programs in place to prevent school safety, to encourage school safety. After an eight-year-old girl was killed in gang rival shootings, And Attorney General Jerry Brown asked for a safety school zone that extended for a one-mile radius surrounding Fremont High School. In Chicago, the head of the schools is using federal stimulus money to predict students who could be at risk for violence. Many people hope that it won't take a tragedy like Darian Albert to get the Los Angeles schools to pay attention. This is C.J. Doblo, Annenberg Radio News.
Firefighters rescued a man stuck in a tree in South Los Angeles today. A professional tree trimmer was stranded about 25 feet up a palm tree around 8:30 this morning. The man was saved from falling by his protective harness. The man was taken to a local hospital where he is in fair condition. First-time claims for jobless benefits fell to the lowest level since early January. It is the fourth drop in new benefit claims in 5 weeks. Economists say it is a sign that the labor market is slowly healing, but employers are still reluctant to hire new workers. The national unemployment rate is 9.8%, the highest in 26 years. Roses are red, violets are blue. I knew it was National Poetry Day. Did you? Sydney Champion went around asking people what they thought about poems and the state of poetry.
No, I've never heard of National Poetry Day.
I had no clue. I don't like poetry, really. I think poets are a thing of the past, and that they still have a poetry day is probably just them trying to relive something.
My favorite poet is Langston Hughes, and I'm very happy it's National Poetry Day.
Yes, sort of. It's sort of a poem. It's a poem monologue, and it's a book of poem monologues called With Their Eyes. It's edited by this lady named Annie Toms, who actually came from my high school, I like it.
We heard from Alex Minton, Nasser Al-Wesmi, Adam Sukman, and Molly Schaefer. Now we check in with Rachel Thomas to find out what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Rachel?
Thanks, Timothy. On ATVN tonight, we'll have breaking news. A male UCLA student stabbed a female student in a chemistry lab. We'll have the latest on her condition and what police are doing. And H1N1 flu vaccines hit L.A., but some people think it has too many risks. Coming up, hear what doctors have to say. Also, customers are screaming for ice cream in court. Disgruntled customers are suing because they're unhappy with their frozen yogurt. Find out why. Watch Annenberg TV News tonight at 6 on Trojan Vision or catch us on the web at atvn.org.
Now, Rachel, I've had some bad yogurt before, but I don't think I ever would have taken someone to court over it. It must have been pretty awful.
You've had bad yogurt? Yogurt's like a guilty pleasure. I've never had bad yogurt, but these people are really upset.
Well, I guess I'm just more of a pudding type of person, but I guess that's just a personal preference thing.
Must be.
Okay, thanks, Rachel. That's it for this Tuesday. We had help today from Karen Marcus, Heather Hope, and Sydney Champion. Hannah Kim is our producer, Richie Duchon is the executive producer, and Billy Higgins provides technical support. For all of us at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Timothy Beckworth.